this evening. I want to say something that you probably never have heard a preacher say before, but just kind of hang on to your hat here. I want you to know everything a preacher says is not always inspired by God. For example, I heard a preacher one time who actually said that the reason why Peter cursed and denied the Lord was because the Lord healed his mother-in-law. Now, I don't believe that's true, okay? But that's what he said. That's what he said. Yes, Jesus did heal his mother-in-law, but I don't think that's why Peter cursed and denied the Lord, okay? We began last time talking about this miracle of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And as we began looking at this miracle, you remember we talked about, first of all, the location of it. We saw how that this miracle, Jesus performed it in the city of Capernaum. And it was performed in the home of Peter and his wife and his mother-in-law. And of course, Peter's brother, Andrew, was also staying there. James and John apparently were staying there. And it seems like that that was also the house where the Lord Jesus headquartered his ministry while he was there in Capernaum. And so we saw the location. And then we also saw the suffering. We saw the suffering, number two. Peter's mother-in-law, you remember, we saw was sick with a great fever. You remember the word there is actually burning. She was sick with a great burning that left her totally unable to fulfill her duties and to serve her Savior. And we noted that all of that took place right after a time of great and effective ministry. That's when the difficulty came. By the way, anytime you win spiritual victories in your life, you better watch out because Satan's going to come after you. Because when we win victories, that's when we start getting a little proud and we get a little spiritually cocky, and then we don't watch the way we should, and that's when Satan gets us. Need to be careful. But right after this time of great ministry, effective ministry, that's when this fever came. And so, if you remember, I said that even though the Bible does not say it's true, I believe that Peter's mother-in-law had this fever, had this sickness, because of the fact that her priorities were not right. This fever came as a result of the fact that busyness in serving became more important to her than hearing God's word. That's why she didn't go to the synagogue. And that's why I believe she made herself an easy mark for the devil. An easy mark. The Bible then tells us in Matthew chapter 8 verse 14, the Bible says that when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And so they come back from the synagogue, great time of blessing, great time of ministry, come into the house, and there Peter's mother-in-law is now sick. That brings us to number three, the supplication. The supplication. And I want you to notice a couple of things here. First of all, the promptness of it. The promptness of it. In Mark chapter 1, verse 30, the Bible tells us this. It says, "But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her." I dare say that nobody in this room today has used the word anon, unless you were mispronouncing something, okay? That's not just a word we use in our everyday vocabulary, anon, you know. But anon simply means quickly. In fact, it comes from a Greek word that is translated other places in the Bible. And it's translated 35 times immediately. immediately. It's also translated 32 times straightway. So that's what anon means. It means quickly, immediately, straightway. You get the idea. By the way, this also supports the idea that Peter's mother-in-law was attacked by the fever when she skipped going to the synagogue. You see, if the fever had come before that, it certainly would not have been ignored until after the service in the synagogue was over. So it's obvious that this fever came while the others were in the synagogue and she was staying home. That's when the fever came. But as soon as Jesus and his disciples came into the house after that great time of ministry in the synagogue, immediately they saw that Peter's mother-in-law was not well. They immediately saw that she was not well. In fact, she was so sick that she was in the bed. She was in the bed. Very, very ill. Now I want you to notice letter B. Not only do we see the promptness of it, notice the person of it. There was real wisdom in this supplication. There was real wisdom in it, because when the disciples saw the need that was present, they immediately turned to the Lord Jesus. Now that's the wisdom. That's the wisdom. As soon as they saw the need, immediately they turned to the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice two things. First of all, number one, they informed Him. They informed Him. Mark chapter 1, verse 30. And anon, immediately, straightway, and anon, they tell Him of her. They informed Him. They told Jesus what was going on. That's exactly what the psalmist commanded back in Psalm 55, verse 22, when he said, "Cast thy burden on the Lord." What was he saying? Just tell Jesus about it. Just tell Jesus about it. Whatever your burden, whatever your problem, whatever your difficulty, just tell the Lord about it. Just tell the Lord about it. It was true that Jesus, understand this, it was true, Jesus already knew about it. Jesus already knew about it. Remember Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw. Okay? He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And even though Jesus saw it, yet the disciples came and told him about it. By the way, nothing happens in your life that the Lord does not see.
Amen.
There's nothing that happens in your life that God doesn't know all about already. But He still wants you to come and tell Him about it. He still wants you to talk to Him about it. And by telling Him about the problem, here's the thing. By telling Jesus, even though He already saw it, He already knew it, by the disciples coming and telling Him about it, they were showing their faith in Him. And that's exactly what He wants us to do. I mean, He knows all of our problems. In fact, He knows our problems better than we do. And yet He still wants us to come and talk to Him about it. Because when we do that, it shows our faith in Him, you see. Shows our faith in Him. And so we find that they informed Him. Number two, after they informed Him, then number two, they requested Him. They requested Him. Luke chapter 4, verse 38 says, "They besought Him for her." They besought Him for her. In other words, they not only informed Jesus of the need, because they had faith in His ability to do something about the fever, their faith caused them to ask Him to do something. By telling Him about it, it showed their faith. But the result of that faith was it went beyond just informing. It then asked Him if He would do something about it. Asked Him if He would do something about the fever. It's a sad thing that many people claim to have faith and the fact that God is able to meet the needs they are facing, and yet their faith never moves them to humbly get on their knees and ask God to do it. They say, "Oh yes, I have faith, I have," but they never take it to the next step to ask God to do what needs to be done. Is that real faith? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You see, the Bible says very clearly in James chapter 2, verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." If we claim we have faith, but that faith never causes us to get on our knees and to talk with God, commune with God, that's not Bible faith. Bible faith is always going to produce good works. Always going to produce good works. And so then I want you to notice number four, the specifics. The specifics. When it comes to the specifics of how Jesus performed this miracle, in the three biblical accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the three biblical accounts we find of this miracle, there are five things that we're told about the specifics of this miracle. Five things. First of all, notice the standing. Very interesting. The standing. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verse number 39. The Bible says that when they told Jesus of her and besought Him to do something for her, the Bible says, Luke 4:39, "And He stood over her." He stood over her. The Greek term that is used here is the same term that would be used when a physician would stand over a patient to administer to them the needed treatment. In other words, the idea is standing by the bed and leaning over the patient to minister to them and to give them the treatment that is required. Certainly interesting to note that in all of the three Gospels where this miracle is recorded, only Luke uses that term. I wonder why. Don't you think it's because he was a medical doctor? Yeah. That was a term very familiar to him. Remember Luke? Luke is the beloved physician in Colossians 4:14. And so he's the one who uses the term. How that Jesus stood over the patient as he ministered to her. Not only do we see the standing, we also see the rebuking. In Luke chapter 4, verse 39 again, "He stood over her and rebuked the fever. Now this is the same Greek word that is used in Luke 4:35 and also in Mark 1:25, where Jesus is said to have rebuked demonic spirits. Same word. Again, this confirms, in my mind, it confirms the idea that this fever was a satanic attack. It was a satanic attack that came when Peter's mother-in-law missed going to the synagogue and made herself to be an easy target for the enemy. You see, a rebuke implies a living being is involved, right? A living being is involved. "I rebuke you, you ugly chair." Well, that was a waste of breath, wasn't it? It's dead. I can rebuke it all I want to, but it doesn't mean anything. But if I rebuke you, say, that carries a whole different thing. You're a living person. You're a living person. And so therefore, when Jesus rebuked the fever, He was rebuking the power behind the fever that had caused the fever, that brought on the fever. Amen. Then I want you to notice the touching. Letter C. The touching. Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says, "And He touched her hand." He touched her hand. Later on, we're going to see the healing of some blind men. And we're going to find a very interesting statement is made in Matthew 20 and verse number 34. The Bible says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He had compassion and he touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. In other words, it was by his personal touch that Jesus showed the reality of his compassion for those who were afflicted. By his personal touch. It's the same thing that we find when the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 3, Jesus did something that nobody in all of Israel would ever do. Nobody would dare do it. He reached out and touched a man who was a leper. Nobody in Israel would do that. But Jesus reached out and touched a leper. Why? Because he had compassion on him. Had compassion on him. John chapter 7, verse 14. Jesus, again, did something no Jewish teacher would ever want to do. He reached out and touched the bier of a dead man. Something no religious man would want to do. Never want to defy. And yet Jesus did it. Why? Because he had compassion on the mother of that young boy who had died. He had compassion. Showed his compassion by a touch. And there's many other examples. As you go through the Gospels, you'll find where Jesus touched people because he had compassion on them. Here he saw Peter's mother-in-law. He had compassion on her. He touched her. And then I want you to notice letter D. We see the lifting. Not only did he touch her, the Bible says in Mark 1:31 that he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. He lifted her up. The touching of the hand by Christ, which we just noted, culminated in his taking the hand of Peter's mother-in-law and raising her to her feet. He lifted her. And then letter E, we see the leaving. Matthew chapter 8, verse 15. Notice it. He touched her and the fever left her. And isn't that neat how that goes together? He touched her, fever left her. Kind of neat how that works, isn't it? Mark 1:31, he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately, what's that other word? Anon. Okay? Immediately, the fever left her. Many people have suffered with great fevers. And over a time, as time passes, the fever will gradually diminish and then go away. No miracle in that. No real miracle in that. But this was an immediate, instantaneous healing. Immediate, instantaneous. 1 minute, Peter's mother-in-law was burning with fever, and the very next moment, Jesus touched her, and just like that, she's cool as a cucumber. Do y'all use that saying? That's right out of North Carolina. Cool as a cucumber, okay? I don't know why cucumbers are cool, but anyway, that's what they say. Cool as fever, totally gone. Fever is totally gone. Now, if you've ever suffered from a high fever, and I'm sure all of us have at one time or another, you will remember that even after the fever left you, you still felt kind of weak, didn't you? Even after the fever left you, you still usually take a couple of days to get back 100%, get your strength back, get back on your feet. But in this case, because it was a miracle, not only did the fever immediately leave her, but the debilitating effects of the fever that had put Peter's mother-in-law in the bed were totally gone. Not only the fever was gone, but all of the effects of the fever are totally gone. And therefore we see number 5, the serving. The serving. We find the same thing is told to us in all three accounts where this miracle is recorded. The same thing is told to us in all three accounts. Listen to it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. In Mark chapter 1, verse 31, immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Luke chapter 4, verse 39, the fever left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Immediately. Now, we do not know what her ministry specifically entailed. We don't know exactly what her ministry entailed. It may have been preparing a meal or some other domestic duty. But her working and her ministering proved that a miracle had truly taken place in her life. The ability to get out of a sick bed and immediately begin serving, begin ministering, proved that something great had taken place. Now she is full of energy. Now she is full of strength, where before she could not even get out of bed. And now she's ministering to the Lord, ministering to His disciples. In other words, Peter's mother-in-law did not have to go around telling people, guess what? I got healed. She didn't need to go tell anybody about it. She didn't need to tell folks about it, because the fact that she had been healed was obvious to everyone by the way she served and by the way she ministered. Same thing should be true in the lives of those who've been delivered by the power of God from the burning power of sin in their lives. Same thing should be true. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. And the Lord Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you know them. By their fruit, not by what they say. Not by what they say, by what they produce, you will know them. So when a so-called believer in Christ is not involved in serving Him, it may very well be because there has never been a real work of God in their life. Just something to think about. Just something to think about. As soon as Peter's mother-in-law was delivered from her fever, she was busy serving the Lord. Now let me mention three things here very quickly. Number one, or letter A, she served immediately. She served immediately. She did not wait around. She did not procrastinate about her serving. Neither did she strive to excuse herself from serving by offering all kinds of flimsy excuses. She did not do that. She served immediately simply because she, as one preacher noted, she understood, she realized that the best service for God is done promptly without delay. Best service is done promptly without delay. She served immediately. I want you to also notice letter B. She served continuously. She served continuously. The word ministered there in Matthew 8 verse 15, it's a verb. And it's in the imperfect tense. In other words, it shows that she not only served and then was done, but it shows a continual action of serving. She served continually. It is in contrast to the verb arose that is used in the same sentence. Because the word arose is in the aorist tense. It means she got up once. She got out of bed once. But then she just served continually. Just kept on serving, kept on serving, kept on ministering to others. In other words, Peter's mother-in-law had a dedication and a spiritual stamina, so that her service was not a flash in the pan, but her service was continuous. It was faithful. Continually, she served. Not only did she serve continuously, I want you to notice letter C. She served appropriately. She served appropriately. Many people are willing to serve if they're given a high place. Many people are willing to serve if they are given an important place. But few are willing to serve in the place that is really appropriate for them. Peter's mother-in-law was willing to serve appropriately. I like the way Charles Spurgeon said it when he noted, she attended to suitable duties. Duties consistent with her sex and condition. She did not try to be what God had not made her, but did what she could. She attended to natural duties, duties which suggested themselves in a moment and were not far-fetched and fanciful. Well said. Well said. I think the great truth that we can take home from this miracle, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, should be this. If God's power has delivered you from the burning of sin, if God's power has delivered you from the power of sin that would debilitate you, then the place where that deliverance should be seen first and foremost, just as it was here, was in the home. It was in their home. That's where it was seen first. Again, the preacher said it well when he said, if your own household cannot see that you are godly, depend upon it, nobody else can. If those in your own house cannot see that you are godly, that there's been a change in your life, and mark it down, nobody else is going to notice. Nobody else is going to notice. And if your parents or children have grave doubts about the sincerity of your religion, I'm afraid you ought to have grave doubts about it yourself. Something to think about. Something to think about. So the question I would leave with you is simply this. What does your service for Christ in your home say about you? What is your service before those who know you best? What does it say about your relationship with God? About your faith in Him? May God help us not just to be Sunday morning Christians where we put it on, come to church, go home, take it off, and then live like the devil the rest of the week. But may God help us to be people who are continually serving. In the church, yes, but not just at church. Serving God at home too, for our family and for our friends. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening for Your Word, and we pray...